see this number out this morning. I'm so thankful that you made your way here to be with us on this special day. Every day is a special day, but we count this as a special day for the observance that we're having today, the Lord's Supper, what it represents to us and what it represents to the church. And I'm thankful for that. It's good to get together and remember things, to have something to remember. This morning, I really want to preach on the topic of the Passover with the title, Your Lamb, this morning, which that was an observance for the Jewish people. But we see for the church what the Lord's Supper is as an observance for us to get together, for us to be together in unity and to take this time together. If you will, let's be turning to Exodus chapter number 12. I want to look at the first half of this chapter this morning. As you're turning there, I was thinking this week, Brandy and I were out walking one evening, and it was nice and cool, and we had Cookie with us, and we were walking, and it just felt good to be outside. The air was fresh, it was crisp, and it felt good. And I was just, you know, we were excited, we were talking, just kind of going over things that we're happy about and just excited about, and just walking, and I was thinking about our Savior on the cross. You know, that day is real every single day to Jesus Christ. You know, we can have good days and bad days and good things, bad things that happen to us, but that day, when Jesus goes in his mind, he can go back to that day, and I believe he can account every bit of that, what that was like. You know, when you feel good, time goes by so fast. When things are going well, maybe not even on purpose, you take things for granted, and it just seems like time flies when you're having fun. I think that's the way they say it. But you think about the time that Jesus spent on the cross. You think about every second. You know, when you're in pain, when this body's in pain physically, when you're feeling pain, every second feels like an eternity. It's like, when is this pain going to stop? When is this pain going to end? And as me and Brandy were walking, and this came to mind, and I told her, I said, you know, the death on the cross, the killing on the cross, was anything but merciful. The death on the cross, the way it was designed, was to be the most painful death that a person could experience. Anything that a person might be able to use to maybe position themselves or what have you to alleviate that pain, the cross was designed to take that away. It was designed nothing but for suffering, the worst death that a person could face. And as we were walking and I was feeling good outside, and I was just thinking how unworthy I am to feel good, because there was no mercy in that killing, but there was nothing but mercy in his dying. How he died for us, how he willingly gave that for us. You know, today we're going to talk about sacrifices a little bit and about this lamb, and you need to have him as your lamb this morning. You know, when we look at animals, a person would go and take an animal and look at an animal, and you could teach them things and they can learn things, but they really have no comprehension of what's going to happen next, so to speak. Think about the lamb that was chosen. He didn't know. The lamb that was chosen in the field, when they went to go and they would choose that lamb, they would take that lamb, they didn't know what was to happen next. The lamb that we'll read about here for the Passover, they didn't know what was to happen next. But you know, my lamb knew what was coming. And he said, I'm going to do it anyway. Because I love you that much. Because I want you to be with me in heaven for eternity. Today, as we see these things, I want you to understand and know the Passover is not the Lord's Supper. This is for the Jewish nation. I want us to see that, but I want us to see the symbolism in it. Because when you look at the lamb that is being recognized in the Passover, and you see the lamb that's being recognized in communion, he's the same. There's only one. There's only one door. There's only one way in. There's no way out, but there's only one way in. I want us to see that this morning. I'll read a little bit, and we'll we'll get started. I wanted to start with that today. Exodus chapter number 12. And I'll just read here verse number 5. It says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." And in verse number 11 it says, "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us, Lord. And God, I thank you for the observance, Lord, that what you've created for us, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, and not to confuse the two, Lord, between the Passover, but Lord, just to look and see the foretelling, and then what you instituted for the church, God, for us to follow as a remembrance, that we could come together in fellowship, Lord, nothing hindering, Lord, examining ourselves, taking note of things, Lord, taking it serious. This isn't just another meal or anything like that, Lord. I thank you for the solemn spirit I've already felt this morning. God, just how you move through us, Lord, and among us, God. And I just pray, Lord, today that if there's anyone here that's lost, that lost one, Lord, I believe there's people here today, Lord, that are in need of salvation. God, I pray that you show them, God, that you show them who you are, the Lamb that you are. You're the precious Lamb, the precious Son of God, that there's no other way, there's no other hope. Lord, you are the door, and God, I pray that people see that here today. God, I just pray that you manifest yourself in a way, Lord, that you never have. God, I pray that today be something that we've not experienced, Lord. God, I just pray you make yourself real to us, you move among us, and that your will be done. God, I pray that you help me guide my mind and guide my mouth, God, that I say everything accordingly to your word as I should, keep everything in context. Lord, guide my heart. Place on my heart all that you want said, God. I'm your servant. I want your will to be done here today. God, I pray that you go with us through the time of the Lord's Supper. Just set the order and go with us, God. It's all about you and it's all for you, Lord. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name and amen. As we start here, we'll go back to the first verse of Exodus and just go and see how this was instituted. If you remember, this was a hard time for the Jewish people, the children of Israel. They were out in the world, and they were in Egypt, which is a type of the world, and they were facing everything. If you remember, this was the time of the plagues and everything that was going on during this time in their life, and they're trying to be released from the world. They want to get released from Egypt, and they were trying to be turned loose. And I always, every time I read this, and they say, the Lord told Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And then the Lord said, "I'm going to harden his heart, and he's going to say, no, I'm not going to let you go." And I always thought how hard that would be, knowing what the response was going to be. But you see these plagues as they came across, and they got worse and they got worse. You see a waxing worse and worse of what was taking place just before the time of exit. Just before the time it was time to leave out of that place, things got worse and worse. You know, the hold of the world wants to grab a hold of you and keep you where you're at. The world wants to hold you back. The world wants to hold you by its standard. But if you're a child of God, he is holding you by his standard. And if you're born again and you're saved, there's going to be an exit one day. It's going to be a quick exit. The world will look around trying to figure out what happened and try to figure things out. And some may know what the Lord's word says and some may not. And they're going to be looking around like, what is going on now? What is taking place? But we see here this final plague. It was the 10th plague, the plague of death. The Lord had his plan and how he was going to do it. And you see the symbolism that's given into it. We see here in verse number 1, chapter number 12. It says, "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." We see a realigning of the calendar. If you look into this, it says here the first month of their year, their new year, it would have been what is called Nisan or Abib, but for us in our calendar, it would be around March or April. So you see the Lord is setting a new alignment here, a new year, a new beginning. If you're here this morning and you're tired of the same old, same thing, the same old, same old, you've got a chance for a new beginning this morning. You can have a life-changing event, and I want you to see that. The Lord realigned everything for this nation, and he can realign everything for you this morning. If you're willing to follow him and listen to him, and this is a commandment that was given, and he was outlining and saying here, this is how he wanted this to be. For all the people that were going through, there was going to be the death of the firstborn of every child, every beast, everything in the land of Egypt. Every single one of them were going to die unless something happened. There's one thing that was going to signify to those who would not die under those terms, the commandment that the Lord had given here. And so the Lord is talking to Aaron and Moses. Verse number 3, it says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." So he's saying one lamb for a house is what you were going to do. You know, that's what I find interesting here, the way the Lord outlines things. He has an order to things. He didn't just let any old thing go. He outlined exactly what he expected, exactly how it was going to be. He loves us, but he doesn't let that love become injustice. And what I mean by that, he's not going to allow things to happen that's not supposed to happen. He's not going to say at the end of this thing, you know, I love you and I'm just going to sneak you in the back door. There's one way in. Jesus, God, he is just. God is just. He does everything according to his word. When he sets it out, this is the way it's going to be, you can mark it down. That's exactly how it's going to be. But you see, he gives us plainly here. He gave them plainly and clearly what was expected. There was no excuse. A person couldn't say, well, I didn't know. They knew. They were given the commandment. God gave the commandment to the whole nation of Israel. He said to take a lamb for an house. And it said here also, and if the household be too little for a lamb, if there was not that many in that household, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the numbers of the souls. Every man according as he eateth shall make your count for the lamb. He was saying if your neighbor's next door was a small household and you had enough for them, then you could combine and you could use that together. Not to waste anything, not that anything would be left over. We'll see here in just a little bit. But he was saying it's all right, you can combine, you could join in together. You see, the door is the same door for all of us. The lamb is the same lamb for all of us. And I was looking a little bit closer, and I like how what it said here in verse number 5, it says, your lamb. It changed. He said, your lamb. And you think about a lamb, you think about how they had to do it. They had to go and they had to look, and you'll see here, they had to find one without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out of the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it till the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. But it says, at the beginning, it says a lamb. Brother Tim, when a person goes out, when the family had to go out and look over all the lambs, they were looking for a lamb. They had to examine that lamb, and they had to go out and look. There were many, but they had to find that one. The one that they were going to identify with. When we talk about sin, that was the covering for their sin. It had to be perfect. Today, before we take the Lord's Supper, we have to examine ourselves. Not that we will be perfect, but there will be nothing there in front of us that before we take the Lord's Supper, that we would take it unworthily. That means known sin. So when they had to go out, they had to look at that lamb. Brother Dale, they had to look it over. How many times did they look a lamb over and say, this one isn't the one? This one ain't going to work. I found a blemish here. I found a spot here. I found a problem here. This one won't work. And they would go to the other. And they would go to the other until they finally got to the one. They said, I need a perfect lamb. I need the one lamb that's going to cover my sin. And they had to look it over. And finally they found the one. And you know what it became? Brother Norman, it became your lamb. When you take that lamb out of the field and you pick it up, and knowing that lamb, not knowing what it was going to do, it was only, its only fault was it was perfect. It was without blemish. He didn't know that. They picked it up and they start heading back. At that point in time, that became your lamb. Your lamb. Do you know your lamb this morning? Do you have a lamb? As I was studying, I was thinking about my lamb this past week, and the breeze was blowing and it was feeling good and not even at all unworthy, but my lamb had me on his mind when he was dying on the cross, knowing the life that he was going to give to me. The life that he was going to give to us. You think about your lamb this morning. He thought about everything. We're not talking about the lamb in the field. We're talking about the lamb on the cross that knows everything. Aren't you glad you got a lamb this morning? Amen. A perfect lamb, without spot, without blemish, absolutely perfect. A lamb you can trust. A lamb that is worthy enough to cover all your sin. You see here, this was in preparation for the Passover. The Lord was laying out the expectation. Can you see the symbolism here? Isn't it amazing how the Word of God through the Old Testament and the Jewish people all the way into the New Testament, into the church, how it completely aligns perfectly? The symbolism that you see, the Lord's not trying to confuse anybody. He's not trying to shut anybody out or try to confuse anybody and bless their heart. And I mean that with all sincerity. The Jewish people could not see the Lord Jesus Christ in this lamb. If they had, they would not have rejected him. You see, that's what I'm concerned about this morning. As we take communion, young folks, lost people saying, what's this? What does this mean? It's about the lamb that died on the cross. That's what it means. People today, we can be hard on people in the Old Testament, but you know, people today are not any different. They can look at the cross and they can look right past Jesus and not see him. The lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. They can look past him and not see him. I don't want us to miss him this morning. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male in the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. We see this time frame. Again, there was no mercy in the killing, but there was nothing but mercy in the giving of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I like what it says here. I don't want us to miss this. Just like the songs that have been sang this morning, it's all about the blood of Jesus Christ. I've heard people talk about making decisions and repeat after me, but you have to know the Lamb that was on the cross, and you have to know that it's by His blood that you're saved. There is no other way. Absolutely no other way. And I want us to see that this morning. And you'll see the symbolism here, and it says, verse number 7, they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two side posts, upon the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. You see, there was an order to what the Lord wanted and expected. It wasn't just any old way. It was one way. Very descriptive way. And so when they would take that lamb, when they would take it out before they would boil it, or not boil it, but before they would roast it, they had to kill it first. You ever think about the symbolism in that for our sin? See, a lot of people try to bring a sacrifice that's not even dead. You ever think about that? I'm going to go through the service. I'm going to get through it. I'm not really going to repent of my sin. I'm going to walk out the door and I'm going to just keep doing what I've been doing. There's no sacrifice in that. There's no repentance in that. You know, they had to take that lamb, Brother David. They had to take it and they had to cut his throat. Well, that's hard. Where's my animal lovers at this morning? I'd probably give it a name. If I found a lamb out there, yeah, Brandy knows how I am. I love animals. I'd probably give it a name and brought it home and try to feed it something. Can't we get another one? I want to keep this one. This is a nice one. You know how hard that would be? That's the lifestyle they had in that day and time. A lot harder than what we recognize here today. The Lord asked us to do things by faith. They physically had to do it. They had to take that lamb and find the perfect one, knowing they were going to take it back home and cut its throat and spill its blood out. Well, that don't sound good, does it? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. They took that lamb, that precious lamb. You imagine, you could probably hear it. You know, in a close community, you can hear things. You can hear things. And I was thinking about, football games. A lot of times, if you live in town, when the football team wins, you can step out in the front door and you can hear it. Now, you imagine what it would have been like to step out in the front door here. All those lambs. All that bleeding. All the cries from the lambs. They took that and they spilled that blood out. They spilled the blood into a basin. They spilled it into a container so they could use it because there was a purpose for that blood. That blood had to be placed on a door. Now you take a door and you look at it. And I was kind of trying to figure out how to do this. But you take the blood that's on a door. The way that the Lord said that it had to be done was a certain way. He didn't say just throw it on the door. He didn't say that. He said you were to strike, take hyssop. They used that as a paintbrush. It was stiff bristles. And they were to dip it in that blood. And they were to take that and they were to strike that top mantle. Not only that, they were to get some more blood and then they were to come over here and they were to strike this mantle and this mantle over here. You say, what's any significance of that? Boy, don't you see the foretelling? Don't you see this up here? Don't you see the cross here? As they struck that mantle, what does that mean? What does that mean? I was thinking about that old rough wood. You know, I don't think their houses was probably too nice back then. You think about the wood on that old coarse wood. Every time I see a coarse piece of wood, if I'm working or whatever, I can't help but think about the cross. Can you? That coarse wood that my Savior hung on and died on. And it says here again, verse number 7, it says, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. That's where they were going to go into. They were saying here, if you are going to be saved, if you're going to be saved from this 10th plague of death, the only way you can do that is to strike your door panel with blood, and to go inside. You see, here's the thing. There's a lot of people in this day and time, I'm just going to be honest, they get right up to the door and they see everything here, the blood is here, and you know what? They don't walk inside. They know the gospel. Preacher, I know how to be saved. I know it's Jesus. I know. Why haven't you accepted Him? You see, it's the house that you're going into. The only way to get to heaven is to go through the cross. That's the only way. A lot of people, they'll stand there and they'll look at the cross. They'll tell you about it. They'll tell you they know about it, but you know they haven't accepted it. Got a lot up here, but nothing in here. You have to go through that door. Through the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way in. And you see, he was explaining this, and he was going through, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, and roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and bitter herbs, and they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden, with water, but roast with fire, his head, his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. He's saying, every single bit of it. And you're not making a stew out of it either. You burn every single bit of it, minus the blood. The blood has already been taken out. And you roast every single bit of it. The head, the legs, the pertinence, that means the inside, every single bit of it. I want you to understand and know this morning, when you're talking about the Lord, you have to take Him in His completeness. Amen. All of it. I was talking to Brandy as we were studying and looking over this, and I said, I don't know what else that can mean. But when you take the Lord Jesus Christ, you take Him all. Every single bit of Him. You know, there's a lot of picking and choosing that goes on. I like this part of what the Bible says, or I like this part, but I just don't know that I believe with that part. If it's in there, that part is just as important as all the other parts. Every single bit of it. You know, when the Lord died on the cross for us to save us from our sin, He gave everything He had. Everything. And when you accept Jesus, I don't know why you wouldn't want to, but when you accept Jesus, you accept all of Him. All of His Word. Every single bit of it. So thankful for His Word this morning. But He said this here, you're not making a stew. It's nothing like that. Everything is to be roasted. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And there's nothing to be left. Everything that's not eating, has not been eaten, is to be burned. Nothing to be left. Now you look at verses 11 through 14 here. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Supper. That's kind of different than most meals I've ever heard of. Is it not with you? A lot of times when we gather to fellowship, we're not to be in any rush, right? Sit down, take your coat off, take your hat off. Let's get comfortable. We're going to have a time of fellowship. We're going to enjoy one another, talk with one another, laugh with one another, have a good time of fellowship. That's normally when we think of a meal, that's what we think of. But that's not what He's saying here. He's saying you're going to do this in haste. You're going to do this quickly. You're going to have all your garments on. You're going to have your coat on. You're going to have your robe on. You're going to have your shoes tightly tied to your feet. You're going to have your staff in hand and you're going to be ready to go out that door. Why? Why would He say it that way? Where's the time of fellowship in that? He's saying do it in haste, do it in a hurry, Brother Dale. The Lord knew their time was drawing nigh. They're getting ready to leave. The book of Exodus is about exiting. They had somewhere to go. They're getting ready to be turned loose. What you do, do in haste. This is something that you do every year. I'm asking you to do this, but be ready when you do it. Because you're not staying where you're at. And you don't want to. This is all about leaving. This is all about going. This is about going out. You're going to do this in haste. Everything that you need. Everything that you need to have with you, you have it ready and have it ready to go. Are you ready to go this morning? Are our minds on something else? Do we really believe the Lord could come today? Well, maybe after Dallas and Giants play, maybe. Right? I'm telling you, church, when we were walking the other night, again, I keep going back to that. We are always on the Lord's mind constantly. You are on His mind constantly. When He was on the cross, you were on His mind constantly. You know how bad He wants to be with us. You know how bad He's longing for that day when His Father says, go get Him. You know, what is more important to Jesus Christ than us going home to be with Him? Name one thing that's more important than that. Nothing. He loved us enough that He gave His life on the cross, this cruel cross, so we could be with Him. Don't you think He wants us with Him? Isn't that the idea? There's nothing holding Him back except for God the Father. And when God the Father says, go get Him, we're gone. Haste. Are you ready this morning? It's that quick. As they were preparing for this day, we read this as a day in history. We look back and they say, this is going to happen. The Lord is saying this is going to happen. Sure enough, we'll read in a minute. It happened. And now you and I are looking back on this as a past occurrence. Did you know the rapture of the church will be the same way? Now we'll be gone and there'll be no more time. But that date and time is there and it's going to happen. It will ever be in eternity, Brother Ben, this date, this time, the Lord Jesus Christ returned and he took the bride home in the history of eternity. Just like they were looking back, as we look back on the Passover as a remembrance, we will look back on the rapture as remembrance. That's the day the Lord took us home. It's easy to look in the past and kind of kind of have a hard time looking at the future, but just as real as the Passover was, is, so is our exit going to be. He said there, again, verse number 11, thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute my judgment. I am the Lord. Every single one. Everyone. He didn't take away anybody. He didn't say everybody but. He said every single one of them. And not only them, not only the firstborn of every beast and of every man, all their gods also. That way they know I am the Lord. They want to say, who did this? Who had the power to do this? The Lord had the power. And all of Egypt, believers or non-believers, were going to see it and they were going to know it. I am the Lord. I am the one who did this. Verse 13, look at this, how this was taken. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you or destroy you. And when I smite the land of Egypt. There was something he was looking for. He had something to look for. You know, we look at each other today, we just see each other. Sometimes we see fruit, sometimes we don't. We see each other. I was looking at it this way, Brother Bill, and thinking about if it was me, and somebody told me, hey, I want you to pick up all these things. I want you to go and gather all these things. Now, in these boxes, let's say it's in a box, in these boxes, only the boxes that have a red dot leave. Everything else, they got to go. I'm looking for something. It's distinguishable. There's something there. It's not just a guessing game, and it's not something that, well, maybe in the end everything just kind of works out, we all have a happy ending. It's already distinguished. That angel, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he passed by every door, he was looking for something. He was looking for something. You know, when Jesus returns, and I mean, it's a moment in the twinkling of an eye, you know, he's looking for something. You know, he looks down and he sees what he sees on our life. He sees the saved people, the sheep. He sees the goats. He sees the lost people, the way it's referred to in Revelation. He sees all that. And he looks. What does he see when he looks at you? I wore this on purpose today, by the way. My goodness. What does he see when he looks at you? Does he see the blood? That's what he's looking for. That's your key. That's your only key. That's your key out of here. That's your key of Exodus out of this world. But you think about what that was going to be like. This is who I'm going to take. You see the people out. We use that. The illustration, you see the people out there. You know there's probably people on the street, people in the community watching these people. What are the crazy Jews doing this time? All these things that were taking place, all the plagues, you know, that had to be on their mind, all the stuff that they'd experienced, all that bad stuff in that short period of time, they're dealing with that, and now they see the Jews doing that. What does that mean? They're being obedient. This is what I'm asking you to do. You know what the Lord's asking you to do? This very minute, he's asking you to believe him. Trust in him, that the blood can be applied to your life. That's what he's asking. You see the symbolism in it? It is that simple. That's what he's asking for. He's asking you to apply the blood of Jesus Christ to your life, to accept, and it's by grace through faith. That's how we do it. That's how we do it in this grace age. We believe in him and we trust in him. It's that simple. And the blood shall be a token. It shall be a sign upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Everyone was going to be affected except those who were obedient. Just as the Lord, when he returns, when the rapture takes place, the caught up being takes place, everybody will be affected. They'll either be taken or they'll be left. Is the blood applied? That's the question that's being asked here. And we see here in verse number 14, this day shall be unto you for a memorial And you shall keep the feast of the Lord throughout the generations, shall keep the feast by an ordinance forever. You see, that was a memorial. And then they go into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We won't cover that this morning, but that's what this is for, a memorial. When this takes place, when people see you do this every year, they'll ask, why do you do that? Our young people, their young people will ask, why do we do that? Dad, why do we do that? What does that mean? Well, let me tell you, son. I remember when I was little, and I saw the plate come around, and I was like, what's that? What does that mean? Why can't I have some? Honey, you will one day. Honey, you can one day. I wanted to know. My curiosity was piqued. I wanted to know what that meant. You see, these memorials that they give to us, they serve a purpose. It's not something that you just rush through and rush out of. It's a time of remembering. See, this was set up for them that they would remember this Exodus for them. They would remember how the Lord delivered them from the land of Egypt. We come on down and we see the memorial. If you go over to verse number 21 through 24. You see here, this is where Moses, he told the children of Israel. That was at the beginning where the Lord was giving it to them. Then you see the children of Israel, where they actually are asked to follow through with it. This is where Moses tells them, this is what you are to do. Now I want you to look over at verse number 29. Verse number 28. I'll read this verse. It says, the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. They did exactly what they were asked to do. Verse 29. When it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, and to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. Now I want you to think about what that was like for them. They had seen these other plagues that had affected them in different ways. Now they're talking about their children, their firstborn. That most prized person, that most prized being probably in their house at that time, that firstborn. You bring a new baby home, everybody wants to see it. Everybody's looking. But you imagine what that was like. A minute ago, we talked about what it was like if you're in a small community and the football game, the football team wins and the door, you can hear it. You imagine what they heard. You imagine that crying. You imagine that sorrow. House after house after house. He took my firstborn. He took him. Who did this? Who had the power to do this? Who did this? The Lord God. Now I want you to think about something this morning. You have a chance right now. You imagine if the Lord was to return now and take us home, if you were left behind. You were sitting here, knowing what just happened. If you've heard the gospel preached, you've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, there's no excuse. You know. Imagine what that day will be like. That day's coming. I don't know when, but that day is coming. We look back and we see how it affected them. But you've got time now. You've got a chance now. You've got a choice now. You've got time. Right now. You know, maybe people think that that's a way for people, preachers, to get people's attention or to try to scare people. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but it is scary. You imagine the realism that set in on Pharaoh when he saw his child dead for his disobedience. Who did this? We see here, look at verse number 30. It said, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, and he and all of his servants and all the Egyptians, and they was a great cry in Egypt. For there was not a house, there was not one dead. Every Egyptian, every non-believer, everyone that disobeyed God, everyone that did not have the blood applied, lost somebody. That reality was sitting in on them. Verse 31, he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. He said, I have had enough. I'm done. I've had enough. I believe that your Lord is the Lord God now. Get out of here. You know, I feel the world is looking at Christians the very same way today. Get out of here. We don't want you no more. Praise the Lord, I'm waiting on somebody to come. I'm ready to go too. Now you think about that lamb. Let's go to Hebrews for just a minute. Hebrews 9:12. I'll close with this verse here. I want you to think about your lamb this morning. John 1:29, he proclaimed the lamb. Behold, the lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us all. I just want to ask you this morning, is he your lamb? Do you have a lamb? Are you ready to go? I couldn't be more excited about celebrating the Lord's Supper this morning with each of you, but I want to know that you're ready. That's the most important decision you can make. But you have to understand it's through His blood and it's only by His blood. And I'll ask you this morning, have you examined yourself? Are you ready to take of the Lord's Supper? It's something that's very serious. It's a very serious observance. And I want to give us time to examine ourselves, a time to pray. I'm not going to rush anything. I think in times past I was so nervous, I don't remember what happened, but I'm telling you, it's time to take time this morning. It's important to take time and examine ourselves and make sure that we're where the Lord would have us to be. I'll ask if you will to stand with me this morning. We'll take time to pray. We're not going to rush this morning.